The book of Acts, the book of Acts, book of Daniel. Yeah, go to the book of Acts. Do that. It's on my heart. I've got book of, that's why I said it. I know it's why I said it. Acts chapter 15. Yes, we are studying Daniel. Yes, chapter 11 is a long, long chapter. It's going to take us a long time to get through it. And yes, we are slowing down long enough to look at the book of Acts. Amen?
Amen.
I believe there's something there the Lord wants us to see. Something's important. Acts chapter 15. Holding your finger in that place, back up to Matthew 24. I guess we'll somehow tie, I trust, what we're going to be looking at tonight. In Matthew 24, verse number 34. Jesus said these words, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." He was speaking about a tribulation period that the Jews would be going through. And he said, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." I want to say this. I believe that on God's timetable, when the Jews rejected Jesus, that he turned to the Gentiles. Do you believe that? Turn to me and you, Gentile dogs. Turn to us. And there's going to come a time when he raptures the church that he's going to turn his attention back to the Jews, away from the Gentiles. And in that tribulation, which will last for 7 years, I realize that his attention is going to be there on the Jews, and that he's going to help the Jews, and that the Antichrist is going to deceive them greatly. And Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass away, not pass, till all these things be fulfilled." Well, preacher, what does that mean? Well, it kind of excites me quite a bit. Because I don't really believe that time gets recognized when Israel's not recognized or the Jews are not recognized. And they've not been recognized from the time they put away their Messiah and cut him off until 1948, when Israel became a nation. That's when they got recognized again. And I just can't help but feel, now nobody knows when Jesus is coming, nobody knows the hour, the day. If they proclaim it, tell them they're a false prophet, because my Bible says nobody knows. But I can't help but think that maybe, just maybe, that 1948 his clock started ticking again. And maybe, what's a generation of the Lord? I don't know. Me and you, it might be 20 years, it might be 40 years. I don't know what a generation is to him. And I wonder, when this generation, 1948, when it started, these things are going to come quickly to pass. Preacher, how quick's a generation with God? I don't know, but my friend, it won't be long. I mean, if it is 1948, we're right now at what, almost 60 years. We're going at 56 this year. 56 years they've been a nation. Y'all, Jesus is going to come for his church. Then there will be a 7-year tribulation. That excites me, because he can come today. I've been thinking about that about all day. He can come today while I've been studying, while I've been praying, while we preach tonight, while we sit in the church. He can come tonight. What would you leave undone that you've been so worried about? You've been concentrating. Got to get this done. Got to get it done. It don't matter, does it? It'll all be left behind. The only thing that matters is Jesus coming. Man, in Acts chapter 15, verse number 12, "Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written." Now this is in the book of Amos, where he's going to quote from. "After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." He does all things well. It's the Lord that doeth all these things. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now I want to say to you, friend, from these verses, I know that right now he concentrates on the Gentiles, but his attention is going to be turned to the Jews. Go to Amos chapter 9. Preacher, I ain't getting you. Yeah, you will hear right here. Amos chapter 9. Has God, let me ask you this question. Has God allowed Israel and the Jews to have a homeland again? Yes, he has. They became a nation recognized by this world in 1948. In Amos chapter 9, verse 11, there's a prophecy about this. Just before the book of Obadiah, just before the book of Jonah, just before the book of Micah, if I'm saying it right. Amos, last chapter of Amos, chapter 9, verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now, you know right now they're getting ready to try to build this temple right now. They're already buying the material. The plans are made. The guy in charge of this outfit is Gershon Solomon. Solomon's temple is going to be rebuilt. That they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land. What'd he say? I will plant them upon their land. I mean, just out of nowhere, they became a nation again. 1948. And they shall no more be pulled up out of the land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Now you may say, now preacher, I believe this is a millennial prophecy. You can look at it that way, but I want to say to you, I believe that God gave Israel their land again, and they ain't nobody going to take it from them. They're going to live right there. You may say, well, they'll have to do something to get peace over there. The Antichrist will come in the name of peace, but he won't be able to get rid of the Jews. Why? Because God said so. They're going to stay right there. Amen? Now let's go back down to chapter 11. How that all ties to what we're going to look at tonight, I don't know either. But we'll see. Amen? Daniel chapter 11. We'll see. Now we've got to remember what's happened here in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel's been praying. He's been fasting and mourning for 21 days. And all of a sudden the Lord shows up. And then the angel shows up. I believe it was the angel Gabriel. He begins to speak to him. And he said, listen. In verse number 12 of chapter 10, he said, listen, your words were heard the very first day. And he said that he had fought with the prince of the kingdom of Persia for 21 days. In other words, there was a demon monstrosity that fought against him for 21 days. But Michael, the archangel, came and helped him. And now he's come to declare the vision and the meaning of the vision to Daniel. Amen? Let's go to the end of chapter 10. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. That's the angel speaking. Chapter 11. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. That is not Daniel saying that. It is the angel still speaking from chapter number 10. It is a vision that is continuing into chapter number 11. Who is strengthening King Darius? The angel. He's the one who's got the power to, because the Lord told him to go and strengthen Darius. Do you remember when Darius came into power? The night that old Belshazzar had the writing come upon the wall, and that night he fell, and Darius the Mede came into power, and he lifted up Daniel and put him to be high in charge in the country, and then they tried to turn against him and turn Daniel in for praying, and what happened to him? Yeah. Throwed him in the lion's den, didn't they? And Darius thought a way to try to get him out of lion's den, but there was no way. And he said, Daniel, the God you serve continually, he's able to deliver you. And all night long, Darius was up. And the next morning, he ran out there and he hollered down there in that old den. He said, hey, Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? And he said, oh, king, live forever. My God has delivered me from the mouth of the lion. He has stopped their mouths. You see, in that first year of Darius the Mede, God was behind the scenes trying to strengthen this man. He is God's appointed servant for the time. This vision is happening in the first year of Darius the Mede. And he said, I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now, in this chapter number 11, there are four great points that we need to note. In verses 1 through 9, we're going to speak about Alexander the Great. He was of Greek descent. In verses 10 through 20, we're going to talk about Antiochus the Great. In verses 21 through 35, we're going to talk about Antiochus Epiphanes. Epiphanes means God manifest. He said that he was God. He made people serve him as he was God. So from 21 to 35 is Antiochus Epiphanes, and from 36 through 45, Antichrist. I don't make a pretty good message. Y'all start with A. Amen? Alexander, Antiochus, the great Antiochus Epiphanes, and Antichrist. How's that sound? Amen? That's how it all relates. Now let's break it down. Verses 1 through 9, Alexander the Great. And verse 2, and now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Let me just call time out long enough to say this. I've read this chapter most of my life. It's been spent in church. I've looked through this chapter. I've never heard anybody preach on it. And most time when I read through it, I didn't understand it, so I just kept going. And I'll be honest with you, I'd like to call time out and just skip Daniel chapter 11 and went right into chapter 12, because it's going to be a very difficult passage to get through. But it is one which God wants us to so note tonight. Amen. In the first 35 verses, let me say this, time out again. This entire chapter is written Daniel looking into future events. It is prophecy to Daniel. To God, it's history. From any point, it's history. I mean, the Antichrist is history to God. He knows how it's going to turn out. To you and I, it is a future event. Amen. Now, to Daniel, this is all prophecy. But to you and me, verses 1 through 35 are fulfilled. Completely. Completely. There are 135 fulfilled prophecies in verses 1 through 35. We will not note all 135 of them tonight. Praise God for that. But verses 36 through 45 are not fulfilled as of yet. The same God that fulfilled the 135 prophecies of verses 1 through 35, guess what? He's going to fulfill the rest of it one day in His time. So, let's go back in history and study what Daniel was looking up to. We're looking back in. He says there's going to be three kings coming in Persia after Darius the Mede. History, as I've studied it, would reveal to us one of those kings is Cambyses. The other king is Smerdis. And Smerdis, he was a usurper that wasn't the son of Cambyses. He killed the son of Cambyses and called himself Smerdis. How do you spell Smerdis? How do you smell, Smith? He was a false Smedish that came into power. The next one was Histopes. And the fourth one, the Bible says, he would be the rich one, the richest of them all. His name was King Xerxes. You're familiar with him because he was the Xerxes of the book of Esther. That's why you know about King Xerxes. He is the fourth king that was richer than all. God's told Daniel these four men are going to come into power. Guess what? They did. One right after the other. And the Bible says, and by his strength through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Now, this is going to start affecting Alexander the Great. What Xerxes did was he picked a fight with Greece. He went over there and tried to conquer and take over their land. And Alexander the Great had a daddy. His name was Philip. And he had this idea that said our people don't communicate well. And that's why we have so many disagreements and why we can't communicate in our homes and communicate in our government. Amen to that. Amen. We got a real communication problem nowadays. People making stuff up or failing to tell the truth. I don't know which it is. Amen. You may say, preacher, that's one and the same. No, it ain't in some people's book. Amen? And here we have Philip, who's organizing a new language. Well, Xerxes comes against him, and he kills Philip. That'd be Alexander's daddy. That didn't sit well with Alexander. And for the rest of his life, this young man spent his young life trying to train and retrain and better train all his troops to be lightning quick, even though they're small and outnumbered, to be lightning quick and surprise attack and take the world. And you know what? When Xerxes killed his daddy, that was a great mistake. Because one day, little old Alexander the Great rose up into power, remembering what Xerxes had done. And now he's stirred up, and he cut Xerxes down at the Battle of Ptolemy. And I want you to know there, my friend, the Bible says, verse 3, a mighty king shall stand up. That mighty king is Alexander the Great. And he shall rule with great dominion. The place that he conquered was much of Asia, including India, major parts of Europe, all of northern and central Africa, the entire Middle East. He controlled all of the civilized world in his day. He had a great dominion, and he shall do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken. We know what happened to him. This young man, the height of his career, died a drunkard at age 32 years old. Now the Bible says that he'd be broken, and his kingdom did collapse. And he shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. What does that mean? His son, I mean, his kingdom did not go towards his posterity. His son did not rule in his stead. None of his family ruled in his stead. His four generals took over his four areas, or they divided his kingdom into four areas. Now, we're going to be interested tonight in two of those four areas. Two of them completely just fell apart. It's hard to track them this day. Two of them, we know them real, real well. We find them in verses 5 and 6. And the king of the south shall be strong. That is, the king, his name is Ptolemy. He took over the land called Egypt. Always know when you see in the Word of God that the king of the south is Egypt. And one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion, and his dominion shall be a great dominion. Under this rule, under this family rule of Egypt, from generation to generation, the kingdom and all its rulership would be passed to all of Ptolemy's rightful heirs. That is the kingdom of the south, Egypt. And in the end of the years, they shall join themselves together. And for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. Now the king of the north is a man by the name of Seleucus. He is over an area called modern-day Syria and parts of the area of Jordan. This is the area he's over. So you see Egypt as king of the south and Syria as king of the north. Isn't this something that modern-day life today, those are a very explosive and volatile situation of this day? And they have been since all the way back to Daniel's day. He says, what they're going to do, the king's daughter of the south, that's the king's daughter of Egypt, shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begot her, and he that strengthened her in these times. Preach, what's that mean? Syria and Egypt was fighting all the time. So the king of the south decided, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my daughter to the king of the north as a peace offering and marry into the family there so we'll all get along together. We're all really out of one big happy Grecian family anyway. So they take a young lady by the name of Bernice. And Bernice is sent to the king of the north. Now guess what? He was married. And he divorced his wife and disposed of her. And he married this young lady, Bernice. Their marriage lasted about two... Sounds like a soap opera is what we're going to go through. Her marriage lasted for about 2 years. The king of the south died. Now that he had the king of the south's daughter, and he's dead, she's no good to him no more. So guess what he does? He divorces her. And he brings his old wife back. And his old wife gets mad because of this new wife. And she takes Bernice and she kills her with poison and all of her attendants. Preacher, how do you know? Well, first of all, the prophecy says that she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up. In other words, she's going to die. So they had her put to death. Sounds like a broken soap opera, don't it? It's going to get worse. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate. Now, immediately you would think that would mean one of her children. But no, her roots would be her parents. That's her lineage, is her roots. Not that she's having children, but just go back to her parents. One of her family members is going to rise up. Guess who it is? It's her brother. He's mad because Bernice got killed the way she got killed. Wants revenge on the king of the north. Out of the branch of a root shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So this brother comes in and invades the king of the north, takes all his treasuries, all the spoils of war, and brings them back down to Egypt. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land. All of these 9 verses relate to Alexander the Great and things that immediately happen right after him. Sounds very confusing. You probably won't remember any of that, but just know God said it would, and it did. Next verse, as we said, is going to concern someone by the name of Antiochus the Great. Antiochus the Great was also a Syrian leader. The Bible says, but his son shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through, and then shall return, and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up. And he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. Preacher, what's all that mean? The king of the south is going to get stirred up. Because what happens is Antiochus the Great, he's the new king that comes in charge, and he's upset that his country's been decimated and everything's been stolen back to Egypt. And he begins to regroup and fire up his people, and he heads south for Egypt. And he invades them there. And my friend now the south, because of this invasion, said, we beat you once, we ain't going to beat you again. And so they rise up, stir up, and they whoop him but good. And my friend, I want you to know that they push him out of Egypt and push him all the way back to his original home back in Syria. Utterly annihilated. In fact, the only thing that the king of the south from Egypt still needed to do was just keep pursuing him and pushing him, and he would have been the new king of the whole territory. But instead, my Bible says his heart would be lifted up. He thought, boy, did you see what we did to him? We put him on the run. Instead of following through with his victory and utterly killing that crowd off, he started rejoicing, in fact, living up and having a big party. Ain't that what today a lot of Baptist churches is doing? I mean, you see a big movement of God, revival breaks out, people get saved, and the church is on fire and got the devil on the run. Instead of running him completely over in the church, they back off of him and hesitate and don't fall through victory and don't go on. And next thing you know, we'll just rest a while now right here and then start backsliding from there. Can you see what Egypt's going to do? They're going to start backsliding. Amen. Here they go. And they're lifted up. And the Bible says that he's lifted up with his heart, and he shall cast down many 10,000s. I underline that in my Bible. That's important. He did pursue Syria just a little bit. He pursued them just to the land of Israel. And he stopped right there. Instead of this thing, he quit fighting the enemy, and he turned on them poor Jews. You see, between Syria and Egypt, there's a little region called Israel. They're right in the middle of those two. And to get from one to another, you got to go right. Israel's been nothing but a battleground. Back and forth. Captivity, beaten up. I mean, just for doing nothing. And here again, the king of Egypt turns on them and he casts down many thousands. And many of those were all Jews. For some reason, he turned on the Jews and got mad at them. Quit fighting the enemy, and he turned on the Jews, who were nothing to him. But he shall not be strengthened by it, for the king of the north shall return. See, the king of the south should have followed through with victory, but he didn't. Turned his attention to the Jews and went back home. Now the king of the north, his name is Antiochus the Great, he's really mad. I mean, he went down, he came into power, his country was decimated, defeated, and didn't have anything. Then he went down there to fight, and then he got beat real bad, and he come home licking his wounds, and now they give him time to reorganize, regroup. He thinks, I know what won't work, I think I know what will work. You better watch the devil when he gets ready to regroup, amen. You're going to be in for a fight. The king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people. I underline the robbers of thy people. That's speaking about the Jews. He said to them. And them Jews say, where are you going? He said, I'm going back to fight Egypt. They said, let us go with you, bless God. Let us join up with you, Syria, for the way that that king of Egypt come through here and beat us like that, we're going to join in with you. We're going to go down there and... Instead of trusting God, they decide to trust a confederacy with Syria or man. Yeah. Guess what's going to happen? The Bible said they're going to fall. I mean, they got defeated by Egypt, now they're going back down to Egypt, and they're going to get more of it. Yeah. Anytime you see Egypt in the Bible, know it represents bondage. Y'all write that somewhere in your mind. Egypt always... In fact, the NIV Bibles, guess where the original manuscripts were from? Alexandria, Egypt. It will bring and teach bondage. So for any of you that are bored with my study tonight that I'm having to present, that ought to stir a few people up that listen to this by way of tape. That like that old NIV Bible, I shot it full of holes, amen. Now the Bible says that, so the king of the north shall come and cast up a mountain, take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand. So the king of the north, he's winning for a little while. Neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. Looks like he's going to win. There's all these cities, you know, down there in Egypt, and he's taken a lot of them cities, but he ain't took them all. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, underlined glorious land, that's always Israel, which by his hand shall be consumed. What happened? He didn't take all the cities down there in Egypt. He was trying to. But Egypt called somebody and said, listen, we can't withstand them. Come help us. Guess who they called? Not the Lord. They called Rome. Rome's going to be the future world leader. And Rome is summoned to come in down there to Egypt. And while Antiochus the Great is trying to fight Egypt and defeat him, here comes an ally with all its troops and all its armies. And he gets scared. And he can't get total victory. And so he starts backing up. And guess where he backs up to? Israel. And while he's in Israel, he's mad because he didn't win. And guess what he does? All them Jews that joined up with him, he starts blaming them because they caused him not to win. And guess what he does to them? He, my friend, kills many of them in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He killed many. In fact, that statement we said a few minutes ago, the robbers of thy people, that are the people that didn't want to serve God, but wanted to serve man. They're the robbers of the people of God. Robbed them of a blessing, not wanting to serve God. He shall set also his face to enter in with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. There, underline upright ones with him. There come the Jews with him again. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her. What's that mean, preacher? Well, Antiochus the Great, he got down there, he got backed off by the Romans, he goes down there and kills a bunch of the Israelites, and he starts thinking, devise a plan. What can I do to get into Egypt to win? I got an idea. I heard years ago about somebody gave Bernice, I'm going to give my daughter. And see, the new king down there in Egypt, he was just a young man, about 4 or 5 or 6 years old at the time. And his daughter, my Bible says that she was the daughter of women. Didn't say she's the daughter of woman. Now, my daughter is the daughter of woman. That means that my wife is helping to raise her. But the daughter of women means she had many attendants helping to raise her. She was a royal young lady. You know what her name was? Cleopatra. And they gave Cleopatra down there into Egypt to make peace out of that situation. And he was thinking, you know what my daughter will do?
she'll win the affection of this boy. And one day, she'll look back to her daddy, and she'll sell Egypt out. And I'll get in Egypt, and I'll defeat Egypt. You see, the devil wants to sow discord among the brethren and get inside this church and get you fighting each other instead of fighting who's the real enemy. Sow discord in here so he can get victory. Hey, wake up, smell the coffee. Where do you think all the rumors and all the junk that's going on comes from? It's these damn monstrosities. It's putting in people's minds to say things. My friend, I'm going to say to you, we ought to be smarter than the average bird. We got the Holy Ghost, which shows us and tells us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Amen. Amen. So he gives the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she now shall not stand on his side, neither before him. Guess what happened? History pointed out Cleopatra would do. She did marry that Egyptian king. He became the love of her life. And she turned her back on her daddy and went with her husband. In fact, best I can tell, that's really the way it ought to be. That they're to cleave one to another, leaving mom and daddy behind. Amen. I want to say to you, a lot of us mom and daddies get children, they get married, we want to still control our child, but she's not in your house anymore. He's not in your house anymore. They have a new person in their life that has replaced. Your relationship has just been taken down a peg. Oh no, she'll always be my daughter. Oh no, she'll always, yeah, that's true. She'll always be your daughter. She'll always be your son. But you have gained an in-law. You have gained another daughter. You have gained another son. Treat him as such. Boy, I went up like a lead balloon. Like, a lot of people has trouble on that stuff right there. A husband and outside of the church and the Lord relationship, the husband and the wife is the second relationship. Then the one with parents.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, in serving God in righteousness, amen. So his daughter turned against her daddy. And after this, he shall turn his face unto the isles and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Guess what happens to Antiochus the Great? His own daughter's turned her back on him. So he says, I tell you what, I'm going to invade all them islands of Asia Minor up there. I've got 300 boats that we've built. Let's go. And they take off up through there, but there's a new power growing up in Asia Minor up along them islands. Guess who it is? Rome. And he gets up there, and he gets ready to invade Rome, and Lysimus comes out, and he takes Antiochus the Great, that great deceitful, with murder in his heart, contemptible, vile man that he is. Lysimus says, we want you off of the grounds of the friends of the Roman people. And Antiochus the Great says, sir, I looked this up. I'm going to give you the direct quote. Sir, I beg of thee to allow me to discuss it with some of my leaders. Lysimus took his sword right where he was. Stand up, Jeff. I'll get you stand up all the time. Stand right here in a minute. This is Alexander. This is Antiochus the Great. He took his sword and drew a circle right around him, all the way around. He said, I'll expect your answer, sir, before you leave that circle. Boy, I tell you what, that's the way the Lord ought to be with us. I mean, he needs an answer from us before we leave the pew we're sitting in. Neglect not the day of salvation. When the Holy Ghost comes to you, God will answer right then. Some of you, he's ministered to you about other things. Won't you get that? He wants an answer from you right then. He ought to give you time to change your mind and figure out another way out of this thing. God wants an answer out of you now. Hey, Antiochus, give me an answer. And you know what he did? He had to bow to the Roman authority. Thank you, Jeff. And he went back home, bowing to a greater authority. And it just killed him. And guess what they did? They took his son, his littlest boy. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes. He's going to become a giant here in a little while. They took that little boy and they took him back to Rome and held him hostage. And said, we're going to hold him to make sure your daddy acts with good conduct. In fact, we're going to make you, because this war that you've lost on our islands, we're going to make you pay tribute or taxes to us every year. So Antiochus not only got beat, but he had to go home and raise money, send back to Rome just so he could live a little longer. And his son was now in prison. He lived a rough life after that, amen. He sure, in fact, when he tried to go raise taxes of his own people, they'd kill him. Look at the next verse. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. His oldest boy stands up. And he tries to raise some taxes. And in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days, he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. You know what they did? They cut him asunder. His own tax collectors killed him. Because he couldn't raise the money to pay tribute unto Rome. So, we see in verses 10 through 20, Antiochus the Great. Verse 21, and we're going to close here in just a minute. We're going to get through Antiochus Epiphanes. Verse 21 through 35. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. Last time we saw Antiochus Epiphanes, he was a little boy held hostage in captivity down there in Rome. But his brother now, who we saw just a minute ago, is going to get killed. He has an idea before he dies. He says, tell you what, I need my brother back up here to help me raise these taxes. In fact, he knows Roman culture down there right now, and he might know some people down there to give us a little favor. I need to negotiate to get my brother back up here to help me, to make things a little easier on me. Oh, it's amazing how we spin our little webs to make things a little easier on us. Yeah. You know, if I'll do, and I'll do that, then it'll work out a little easier on me. You better watch out how you do people. Treat people, try to step on them and use them. A lot of preachers step on people and use them, try to get things that it don't work real good, y'all. I want to say too that he goes to negotiate and says, well, then we'll require of you your son. And you know what he does? He gives his own son to get his brother back. And before he gets his brother back, he gets killed by his tax collector. His tax collector says, hey, I'm the new king. That young brother coming out of Rome comes back and says, my brother's dead. Oh, no, I'm taking over. He goes and has a tax collector killed, and he puts himself in power. And what he does with all the people, he promises them all peace. Now, he is a type of the Antichrist. He comes with peace. Oh, peace, man, peace. Let's sign peace treaties. Let's get along. And he wants to have peace with Rome as well. And he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of blood shall they be overthrown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He isn't even going to sign leagues with the people of Israel. You know what he does? He takes the high priest that God has. In fact, this would turn out, his name is Onas, and he is the last official high priest. To this day, Israel does not have an official high priest. There's one who says he's a high priest, but he can't offer sacrifice in the temple because they don't have a temple. And because they don't have the blood of a red heifer to cleanse, the ashes of a red heifer to cleanse him. So there is no, this was the last one. And guess what happened? Antiochus Epiphanes killed him. And he said, I'm going to put my own man in there. One that will do what I want to do instead of what God wants to do.
Yeah.
You better watch a church that wants to get somebody and says, we want a man to do what we want to do.
Right.
Amen. You better watch a church that says, we want to get a man to do what we want him to do. There's too many people nowadays think, well, the preacher ought to, and the preacher ought to, and the preacher. Hey, let me tell you something. That right there, my friend, if God sends him, he'll be reportable and accountable to God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, man. There's a lot of churches nowadays trying to run the preacher. It don't work that way. So, well, let's go on quickly. Try to make this quick. So he's made a league and promised some peace to everybody. But you know what? He's deceitful. He's just a user. He's going to turn all these peace treaties he signed, all the peace, going to tear them up. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. What is that? Make peace. The rest of them didn't come in the name of peace. They come in the name of war. He's coming in the name of peace. How's the Antichrist going to come? Faith. Name of peace. He shall scatter among them the prey, the spoil, and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices. I underline that. Against the strongholds even for a time. You know what he's going to do? He's going to try to make a treaty. He's the king of Syria. And he's going to try to make a treaty with not only with Rome and everybody else trying to buy time, but he's going to make one with the king of the south. They've been at war for years. He's going to try to make one with Egypt. In fact, it's his own brother-in-law, if I ain't mistaken, or nephew or uncle, somebody's family that's running everything down there in Egypt. So he says, we're going to get along. We're going to make a peace treaty. But the Bible says right here, and I told you to underline it, that he shall forecast devices against him. What's that mean? Behind the scenes, in the Egyptian government, he's planting discord, putting his own henchmen back there, trying to get rid of his own family member down in Egypt so he can take over. Trying to plant this person and ideas in this guy's head and twist little things here. So, oh, he don't really like you. And, oh, let's examine that. And, you know, trying to, you know how it is to sow discord among the brethren?
Yeah.
A lot of people won't do that, sow discord among you. Say, I wonder what so-and-so really meant by such and such. And they make stuff up, try to get you all demented and twisted, and get your minds off Jesus. That's what Antiochus Epiphanes said. He'd come in the name of peace. I'm just going to sow a little discord. Tell a few lies, start a few rumors. You know, betray from the inside. I found out I can't invade them, but I can get them from the inside. Hey, Joseph was sold by his brothers. Amen. Jesus was sold out by his own hand-picked disciple. And when hurt comes in any church, it'll come from the inside. Guarantee when hurt comes in your family, it comes from the inside. Devil knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, but I'm glad to say that Amanda sung tonight, God does all things well. Anything the devil does, God does better.
Amen.
Amen. So he's going to start sowing his discord, and he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. I mean, he's trusting some of his defense leaders and ministers, and he's counting on them, and he gets out to battle, and they betrayed him. And now he's out here all alone. And the king of the north's laughing. Ha ha ha. I got you just where I want you. But guess what? That old boy being a family member, he's pretty cutting himself. And the whole time he's having discord sowed among his brethren, he's up sowing discord among the other guy's brethren. Ain't that just the way it works?
Amen.
In fact, verse number 26, yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. You know, just like today, they sit down at these big fancy tables, you know, get these documents about that thick, and everybody's got cameras on them, and they sign it at a table. And all this is a big lie.
Yeah.
They'll sell you down the river the first chance they get.
Yeah.
That's what them old boys is doing too. They're sitting at a table, speaking lies, one to them. Oh, yeah, I'm going to establish you, buddy. Oh, yeah, you the right-hand man. Me and you, buddy, all the way. Can't wait to cut his throat as soon as he turns his back. A lot of churches and pastors get along that way too. Oh yeah, we love you, preacher. We love you, man. Did you hear what he preached tonight? He's me. Did you hear how long he held us? Look, oh preacher, that was the best message. Thank you, son. You blessed me to death. Deacons do that teach. Oh, what do you think about us? Oh yeah, I'm with you all the way. You know what deacon so-and-so wants to do? Let me tell you. He's an idiot. I knew he's a truck. That's what goes on. Speak lies at one table. You know, where the preacher gives you a survey. Says, I want you to fill this out and tell me how you feel. And you tell me how you feel. And then about 3 weeks later, you come and say, I didn't feel that way. You what? I mean, yeah, well, I was doubting this thing the whole time, but I know I said, hey, Lord of God, why didn't your voice sound on your piece of paper? Be honest.
Amen.
One with another. And don't try to make people believe the wrong thing, but tell them the right thing. How you feel from your heart. See, only thing's going to make the world go round, amen, is when we're at peace one with another. Told you there's a great communication problem. Alexander the Great's daddy was on to something there. The Bible says, then shall he return into his... But he shall not prosper, for the yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches. And his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. In other words, he's got to go back home. His exploits, his sowing discord, didn't completely work. And at the time appointed, he shall return. Why? Because it takes time to make these things fester. They usually don't fester overnight. It may take them a couple months.
Yeah.
Maybe a year or so. Things really get really big. And he's coming toward the south, but shall not be as the former or as the latter. He's drawn back in. He says, Egypt's weak. I can take them now. I mean, my boys now have been elevated more in power than they were before. Here I come. And he heads back down there towards Egypt. And when he gets there, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Guess what the ships of Chittim means? That's the ships of Cyprus or of Rome. Rome's down there sitting in the harbor of Egypt when he gets there. Oh, man. What are they doing here? They ain't supposed to be here. Hey, I like it. Let me tell you what. When God shows up, you know, that crowd sows discord, says we'll do this, and then we'll get rid of him. And all of a sudden, some of that crowd gets saved. Woo! And God shows up on the scene and reinforces everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like it when God jumps in it. devil gets here and didn't expect God's going to be here. They say, oh, I've got a meal fight today. Boy, I can't wait to see what happens. And he shows up, and there's the old ship of Zion. Hooked up to the harbor of the Lord of God. And the devil says, oh, no, I'm going to go moon. I better get out of here when they go to praying. Preacher, you're crazy. Hey, man, about Jesus. The Bible says, the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. I underline Holy Covenant. Guess what happened? He went down there to Egypt and saw Rome and said, whoa, slammed on the brakes and started going back, and he is mad now. And guess where he had to go through? And guess what he did? Oh, he was mad at them people. And he's got to take his frustration out on somebody. And he picked on a little Jew. He started tearing their temple all to pieces, and he renamed it. Said the temple of God, he called it the temple of Zeus. Instead of having sacrifice in the house of God, he killed a pig and put swine blood, swine broth all over the altar there. In fact, my friend, he put an idol up, probably of himself or one of his Zeus people, and told everybody, he took away the day he sacrificed the Jews, killed 80-some thousand people. I mean, he was just gutting and ransacking that city. And there's a young man by the name of Mattathias, who was a priest. And he said, I have had it with you. It just takes one person to start revival in this church.
Yeah, man.
was any of y'all here last night when they started that fire back yonder? Who was here when they started that fire back yonder? Tim, you taught on fire here. How much do you think it takes to get a good fire going? Just one little spark.
Yeah.
I mean, one person just get fired up. Matter of fact, I said, buddy, we're going to turn you around. In fact, when he did that, his five boys said, Daddy, we will. Hey, wouldn't it be God that somebody in the church say, oh, we're going to have a revival, and about five people say, we with you.
Amen.
But they started fighting old Antiochus Epiphanes and all his five or six against all that crowd. Guess what happened? In just a couple years, they reclaimed the priest and his family. The priest got killed, and Judas Maccabeus, the son, took over, and one of the boys took over instead. And they reclaimed the city of Jerusalem, rededicated the temple, and rejoiced in God their Savior. And old Antiochus Epiphanes had to tuck his tail and go back home to Syria, and he died of depression, grief, and worms. One of these days, the old devil's going down, amen?
Amen.
Just one young man got fired up about the things of God, and God sparked it in revival and turned the nation around. Now, let's read what God said at all, but let's read the verses. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white. Even the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. He goes, even to the time of the end, there's getting ready to be a change here in time. Verse 35 stops. Verse 36 is for a future event.
Yeah.
To the end of the time. Now let me say this. Those Jews there, when Antiochus Epiphanes began to pilfer through the city, there's three classifications of them. You ready? Three. Number one, there were some of them that thought Antiochus Epiphanes would be their Savior. As he passed through their land going down there towards Egypt, they thought he is the great one that's going to deliver us. And even when he got whooped by Rome, he got scared by Rome, and he came back, they still wouldn't be loyal to him because they said, this guy has got the power to kill us all, so let's just get along with him. And my friend, they didn't want to serve God, they wanted to serve a devil. Then there was another crowd that said, well, we know serve God, but we just want to make things easy on ourselves. And they weren't really speaking their true heart, but was only trying to half-hearted serving God and half-hearted serving. How is it you serve tonight? And then there's another crowd that said, oh, bless God. You may kill us, we may die, but we're going to go down fighting against the works of the devil. We're not going to fight each other, we're going to fight the devil.
Amen.
We're going to fight the enemy. Which way is it you line up? I mean, you line up and say, well, you know what, preacher? We're talking about church growth here. Yeah, preacher, we're all for church growth. Until we leave the doors of this church and get out in this community, then we don't think we need to. I'll say this to you. This is on my heart. For any of us that think that we should not be growing as a church, you need to leave.
Amen.
Because, and this is true, because the church ought to be growing. I can show you this Bible. It's supposed to be growing. Growing. And I mean, right. I mean, no, we can't go out and spend $10 million and do this or do that. But we ought to have a burden to see this church grow. In fact, if our forefathers and ancestors had started this church, we wouldn't be here tonight in this building. We'd be out in the cold somewhere. We'd all been there. But see, they had a vision to be in this place. I don't say, where's your vision?
Amen.
Well, I'll just go along with you. Whatever you want to do, preacher, that's fine with me. You, preacher, I'm going to go along with you. And if it falls apart, I'll say, I told you so. No. That's one of them three classifications. We either all in this thing, or we ain't. Now, preacher, why are you spending time on that tonight and relating that to Daniel chapter 11? Has somebody flogged you? Have you heard something? My desire is to know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
As God is my witness, I'm not spending time talking to people that's a bunch of naysayers. And all this, I don't want to do that. But I want to say to you tonight, I don't know which way you line up, and not trying to cast your vote one way or the other, but I want to say to you, y'all line up on the side of the Lord that says, we're for the church, and we're going through.
Amen.
Stay with me now. Preacher, next my question. Somebody been talking to you? Yes, he has. My Bible says name names. Over here, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Didn't they name his name? Demons have forsaken me. They named his name. He named names. Holy Ghost told me. I'm proud of the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
Amen.
I knew it was going to be long. I knew it was going to be a hard message tonight. I don't want to kill you. I'll go home, wrestle. I'll kill them tonight. And next week we'll meet back at the end of, sometime next week we'll meet back at the end of chapter 11. We'll probably get in chapter 12. I know some of you looked ahead and said chapter 12 is only 13 verses. Praise God. We're ready in, preacher. We can't wait. Amen. We will be having a little booklet on these things, about 60 or 70 pages long. I finished it today. And so we'll be taking it down to the printers and try to do a real nice job so y'all have something to look back across the study of Daniel, something we can reference back to for the future. We've got a lot of these things we looked in tonight in there. Was a deep study. Took a lot of time. But y'all certainly be praying for one. One starts next week at 6:30.
Amen.
All hearts and minds clear. Let's dismiss in prayer. I'm going to ask for Jerry Sparks. Jerry, how about you dismiss us in prayer?
Our dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the service we had. And I thank you, Lord, for the study of Brother Daniel. A great man of God, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you just touch Brother Darren as he goes into this big study. And I can only imagine, Lord, the hours that he spends of studying this book, and it's complicated, but Lord, with your help, we can understand it. And I pray, Lord, that you just be with the ones on the prayer list, the ones that have cancer. I pray, Lord, you touch and heal right there. Be with the ones in the hospitals, the nursing homes, wherever they may be, Lord. Be with those most of all, Lord, that have never been saved. I pray, Lord, for the boys I work with. I ask you, Lord, that you'd help me to be a light that would shine for them. Ask you, Lord, you just touch our church and let it grow for your honor and glory. Not what we are, but what you are. You're worth everything, Lord. And I just thank you for saving me. Pray you go with us now, the manor, and ask to our homes. Bring us back again Sunday, Lord, and just be with us to serve us in. Amen. Yeah.